I'm Mitch Wertlieb. This is VPR News. Backcountry skiers have been illegally cutting trees and brush for years to open up trails. Usually the trimming is small scale, but this fall, U.S. Forest Service officials in New Mexico reported up to 1,000 trees have been cut down in the Santa Fe National Forest, and they said backcountry skiers were the likely culprits. Closer to home, new evidence of significant illegal cutting was found on state land in Middlebury. Officials with Green Mountain National Forest hope a pilot program in Vermont could become a model to curb illegal cutting and at the same time expand terrain for the rapidly growing sport of backcountry skiing. VPR's Nina Keck has more.
Angus's crew took off already.
This is like a minute ago.
All right, everybody else, gather around. One more briefing and we'll head out.
It's 9 a.m. on a recent Saturday morning, and about 30 volunteers pick up saws and hard hats for a day of trail work near Brandon Gap. Hardy Avery, a professional trail designer hired for the project, brings the group up to speed.
So mostly what we're going to be doing is hauling brush that's already been cut. We have two ski lines that are cut to the ridge that you can see with the sun behind it, and one skin track cut.
Normally, backcountry skiers and riders clear trails in secret, but for the past several weeks, dozens of backcountry enthusiasts have been carefully thinning trees and brush under the close supervision of National Forest Service personnel.
How many of you, is this your first day? I'm curious. Ah, great. Welcome. Thank you.
Holly Knox is a recreational program manager for Green Mountain National Forest. She says with backcountry skiing and riding so popular, it makes sense to encourage and expand it on public lands. But she admits the challenge is to ensure it's done in a controlled and environmentally sustainable way. Knox says a 210-acre parcel of national forest straddling Chittenden, Goshen, and Rochester is being used as a testing ground.
We're looking at both improving the recreation opportunities, ensuring the long-term sustainability of our ecological components, but also that reduction in people cutting areas where they should not be cutting.
All the new ski trails will be limited in width to between 15 and 30 feet. Softwoods like evergreen and firs are being protected. To ensure long-term research on the site, volunteers have been asked not to cut vegetation shorter than a meter. Trail designer Hardy Avery says it's been a complicated process.
I scouted it out for 4 or 5 days, 6 days maybe, and laid out 5 different ski lines, a skin track, a couple access routes, and a catch road to catch everybody at the bottom of the ski lines.
65-year-old Merle Schaff clears brush off one of the new trails. The Salisbury resident says the ethos of backcountry skiing hails back to a bunch of people surreptitiously clipping in the woods to carve out their own private runs. He says the Green Mountain National Forest, and especially Holly Knox, deserve a lot of credit for spearheading a cooperative effort to change that mindset.
By green lighting this, she made it possible for us to operate within the law. And there's always going to be some people that are going to be bandits, but I think that working like this is going a long ways to bringing the Wild West of glade forming somewhat under control. A lot under control.
Yeah, I think we're in the area that they're just going to come through and saw this all with
down.
Yeah, because I think he wants to keep it a little narrower. Up top here, we're in some softwoods that we can't cut.
Zach Freeman is a member of the Rochester Area Sports Trails Alliance. He says their members helped carve out new trails in the Braintree Mountain Forest. He says that project on private land, coupled with this work on public land, is putting Vermont on the map and will hopefully create a useful template for others.
Actually, the efforts that we've put in here these last few years have really stirred up a lot of excitement throughout the Northeast, over in the White Mountains and in Maine, online, on Facebook and stuff. There's user groups and ski groups that have tracked our work and that have gotten very excited and organized themselves to propose similar skiing development projects in their area.
Freeman admits every location is unique, so you can't really create a one-size-fits-all approach. But he and others believe if all goes well with the Brandon Gap project, more will follow. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck.